This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass here at Joy 94.9 Studios on Bourke Street, directly outside where an extraordinary incident occurred late afternoon yesterday. The studio is very quiet. It's only been open for just over an hour once we got the okay to come in here and resume broadcasting. So in some respects, we are still sort of organising ourselves and getting ourselves together. So we don't have any news, but we are the news, as Macca has already said. And we will continue to keep you abreast and informed with all the latest developments as we are able to access those.
I'm struggling with the keyboard. There's something wrong with my keyboard, Tass.
Perhaps a gremlin's taken over, Macca. So, Macca, we've had a good conversation with Dominic Haslam, who's talked to us about the leadership that this station has taken to ensure the security and safety of our very own volunteers and members.
Yes.
We've spoken to Martin Folley as a representative of the Victorian Government, who's talked to us about the leadership that government's taken and first responders in ensuring the security, the paramount security and safety of our public. And we've also had a conversation this morning with Michael Kroger about the shenanigans that are taking place in the state seat of Richmond. I wanted to ask you, Macca, what are your reflections on the week? What were the sort of top one or two issues that really got your juices flowing?
Look, the issue that is still uppermost in my mind is religious freedom. And
we're going to talk more about that later.
And I want to talk about, I wouldn't call it a schism, but there's a difference in opinion between the Anglican Church in New South Wales, who, don't forget, the
donated
$1 million
to the No campaign.
But they put out a statement in the last week or so, signed by 30-odd Anglican schools in New South Wales, that effectively said, we support the right of schools to not employ gay teachers and to have LGBTI kids as students. Now, they've backtracked at 100 miles an hour on that. But what is interesting is the Victorian Anglican Church have come out very strongly saying they do not hold that position, that they don't need religious freedom strengthened. Mm. They're happy for those current exemptions to be removed because they believe that it is about the safety of the children. They don't have an issue with gay teachers. They don't have an issue with LGBTI kids. So, you know, it's a really interesting thing. Some might call it a franchise dispute, but you've got the Anglican Church in Victoria taking a principled, correct, compassionate, and dare I say, Christian attitude.
Yes.
Because remember,
yes,
every single LGBTIQ person is God's work. Now, where this is going to lead, how this feeds into the government's inquiry, the Catholic Church will continue on their destructive policies. Right? And don't forget, we got a commitment from each candidate for the seat of Prahran.
We did.
Around, do you want and will you accept your tax dollars, which is every single one in the studio, going to fund an institution that discriminates against our community? And the answer was no, they do not support that. I don't support that. This is not a matter of politics. This is a matter about what's right.
It's about human rights, Macca.
It's about human rights, but it's about what is right. And if those institutions that want to ramp up the law, want the ability to sack LGBTI teachers, discriminate against LGBTI kids, okay? One day, those people that lead those institutions will meet their maker, because that's what they believe. They will meet their maker and they're going to have to answer for that. But in the interim, I don't want my taxes being used to support random acts of bastardry and discrimination and harm against my community. I won't accept it, and none of us should accept it. This is not political. You should not and you must not accept it. And tell those people, right, who are acting in their God's name, right, they're doing the wrong thing. They have blood on their hands.
So, Makara, last week we did break the story about the Uniting Church.
Yes. Oh, do we have an update there?
Well, I have had contact with Sharon Hollis, who is the moderator for the Uniting Church Australia.
Yep.
That's the equivalent of the Archbishop sort of role, if you want. She very kindly said that she would love to come back on our show. But unfortunately was not available today because she was actually chairing a national meeting. So we will, you know, she's certainly very open to having a conversation with us and exploring the issues a bit further. So we'll pursue that again next week. And I did ask for another representative, but I think she's actually a bit keen to speak with herself directly, which
might
I think
be next
is fantastic. It may be next week. So, Mako, you know, the other big issues that I'd like to just put on the table are the midterm elections in the US. After last night's...
Hang on, you're not putting your hand to take the microphone away from me, are you? You're not playing a Donald Trump.
No, I'm not doing that, Mako. You know I wouldn't do that to you.
Putting out a fake video... Sarah Huckabee Sanders, what a disgrace you are. What an absolute disgrace. You work for a bully, you work for a misogynist, you work for a man, you know, don't forget what he said, grab him on the pussy, right? You work for him and
it's got you going, Mac.
And you put out a video that has been altered, right?
That's appalling.
It's been sped up, you know, you're not happy just to lie. Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Fabricate.
You want to fabricate. You know, you are a disgrace.
So, Macca, the midterm elections were very interesting.
Do you think she's related to Colonel Sanders? She's certainly related to Mike Huckabee.
I do think the midterm elections were very interesting because there was a... You can dissect and cut the result in a number of different ways. But whichever way you look at it... The people of America have spoken.
Democracy.
And have said...
A huge turnout.
Have said, we are not happy with the way things are going.
It was a bit of a mixed result because they didn't do well in the Senate.
No, well, they actually gained. He gained a couple of spots in the Senate.
But in the House of Representatives...
Well, he's lost his majority.
It will be... And, of course, straight after that, what did the Donald do? He sacked his Attorney General. And don't forget, his Attorney General, right, was one of the first high-profile Republicans to support Trump.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
Trump has been attacking this guy publicly for over a year over the Russian inquiry. So he then, straight after the election result, he sacked him. Sorry, he didn't sack him. His letter said, at the request of the president, I'm tendering my resignation. Now, Trump is worried about the Russia inquiry. Obviously, the American people are worried about it, but you know the issues that they're worried about? They're actually worried about health care. They're worried about the tax reform, and I use the word loosely, that the Republicans introduced isn't trickling down. Mm-hmm. Sure, there has been some good jobs growth in the states, but look at the wages on average that those jobs are attracting.
Mm.
They're very low paid jobs, and the same as is happening here, the casualisation of the workforce. So yes, there are more people in work in America, economic activity is happening, but you know, the pyramid has been inverted.
Well, the beneficiaries. Are not really the people who... Yeah. Thought they were going to benefit from this. Look, I think it's actually quite extraordinary. I'm not sure where this is going to land. There's been lots of discussion, lots of analysis over the last few days, but of course, you know, today the focus is very much on what's occurring here in our own city in Melbourne. But I do think and I do hope that decency will prevail and kindness will reign rather than division, which is the mantra that, you know, the Trump administration has been forging ahead. Makaram, I'm going to change the subject. The other highlight for me this week, and this is a positive story, is, and I don't want to sound like I'm going to be partisan in any way at all here now, but, and some might accuse me of being partisan, but
who? Give us their name.
but one of my highlights during the week was a very bold policy announcement made by the Andrews team to aim to achieve 50% renewable energy sources by 2030.
You are biased because you've just ordered solar for your house.
I have.
You're an unreconstructed greenie, Tass. But then again, I'm looking at solar for my house too.
Well, I can't see how we can't in the end. I really can't see how we can't.
Well, I come from the Latrobe Valley. I'm not a fan of coal. You know, clean coal, you know, no one's actually been able to adequately explain to me what clean coal is.
No.
Is it something you put in the front loader and give it a wash?
No.
It's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, I do agree with that. But to me, a 50% target
it's bold.
It's bold and it's ambitious. But what it does, if you have governance certainty, it means that business can then start to orient itself around investing towards achieving that target. And, of course, government investment will also work towards that. So, ultimately, I think it's a really positive thing. I'm excited by it. And I'm really pleased that somebody's actually taken up the issue. Now, interestingly enough, the opposition's response has been predictable. Should they win, they will legislate out all of those targets. Mm. Quickly gone. Back now, to coal again.
To go back to the discussion we're talking with Michael Kroger about balance.
Yes.
Where 35% of our political interviews in the last year were with Labor, 33% with Liberal, and I think 12-13% Green, and about the same independents, and that was a number of different independents. And people will say, "Yeah, oh yes, that's interesting." Every single one of those politicians that we interviewed, not one of them has been unhappy with the way we've engaged them, have not had any complaints about the questions we've asked, and all of them have actually said to us on more than one occasion that they appreciate the questions and they appreciate the way in which we ask them and the balance that we provide.
Yeah, I think we've had positive feedback. There's no doubt about it.
So something very proud of. It won't surprise listeners. Tass and I do have a view on some things. It may not be what you actually think it is. But, you know, I always enjoy those political interviews because, you know, at the end of the day, it actually tells us something, you know, tells our listeners something. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Liberal How to Vote card in Richmond is, who they recommend to Liberal voters that they put as number one. If it's the Liberal Democrats, that's interesting.
It's a very, very snaky set of affairs, Macker. I'm sorry. Sorry to be so direct about that, but it's very snaky.
Liberal Democrat Senator David Lionholm, who I think is a bit of a buffoon. He should have stayed as a vet, but he'll love that. Mm. But it could be the Australian Conservatives.
It could be.
Could be.
Who knows?
Who knows? But didn't they lose a member? The Australian Conservatives, didn't the ex-DLP member of the upper house who joined the Australian Conservatives, I think she's...
I don't know.
They've cast her aside.
Don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Now, I do have a question here for you, Macca.
Yes.
One of our listeners is interested in your thoughts and reactions on the special episode of Q&A with Malcolm Turnbull, former Prime Minister. Did you watch it?
I actually watched some of it the next day, but I was actually doing, I was actually out and about when it was on air, so I listened to most of it in the car.
So you didn't have the audio visuals?
No, I only had I only had the audio.
Yes.
I thought, yes, he sounded relaxed, but, you know, the message that came to me was I was pretty excited when he became leader of the Liberal Party because I saw a move, what I thought would be back to the sensible centre. You know, some responsible economic policy, but great progressive social policy. What a disappointment he was as leader and as Prime Minister. And the justifications that he gave the other night on Q&A, I thought, were pathetic. What does Malcolm Turnbull stand for?
Yeah, well, we still don't know, do we?
What does he stand for? And he didn't demonstrate it, I don't believe, and he talked about marriage equality, he legislated marriage equality. No, he did not legislate marriage equality. It was a private member's bill by Senator Dean Smith that was voted on by both houses of the parliament overwhelmingly. I mean, about 90%, right? More than 60%, was it 62 or 63% of the Australian voting population, with a turnout in the high 90s, supported marriage equality in this postal survey, right? But don't forget, the postal survey wasn't Malcolm's idea.
It was Tony
Abbott and Peter Dutton's idea on the basis, and this is what I'd been told by a lot of federal Liberals and not the one you're thinking of, that this was, they thought this will really work, that, you know, this won't pass, we'll be able to put this to bed, we won't have to legislate for marriage equality, we won't have to do anything, right? So I was incredibly disappointed with Malcolm's explanations. I was disappointed claiming the mantle of marriage equality. Don't forget, during that campaign, Tass, Malcolm Turnbull said religious freedom was more important to him than marriage equality.
So let's go back to Q&A. So what's your sort of analysis of his performance? I mean, I listened to Patricia Cavallis on the Party Room yesterday while I was on the tram, actually. Always great entertaining. And what Patricia did say, interestingly enough, is that she felt that the whole thing looked a bit like him trying to defend his record. A record.
Well, the program could have gone for 3 minutes then.
Well, perhaps, but she said that, you know, he kept on, you know, he didn't actually stick the knife in the Morrison team.
Well, no, because, you know, he you know.
Although he did name the eight.
Yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, yes, you can look at some of the figures, right? Has there been employment growth? Yes. Has there been a good level of business activity? Yes. But look at another figure, right? Look at the deficit.
Yes.
Right, which has doubled in the last 3 or so years or more. Doubled. Look at the tax take, which, you know, he talks about reducing tax. More tax has been paid.
Look at the proportion of inequality in our society.
So, you know,
the rich are just getting richer and the poor are getting poorer.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it has to be about equity. And I was, you know, there was 10 minutes to go on what he was saying, you know, I turned off.
Look at the policy vacuum. Look at the policy vacuum that exists in our society, Macca.
Yeah.
We don't have an energy policy. We don't have a taxation policy. We don't have an immigration policy. Like, we don't have anything happening at the moment.
Got a few buses, though.
It's a bit embarrassing, don't you think?
Yeah.
But so, let's get back to the show, though. So, yeah.
So we've actually got a message. Do you want to read that message?
That's going back to a former subject. It's a message from one of our volunteers and active supporters, I suppose. Pete Holmes, thank you for listening in and thank you for your comments. He does say, I'm going to read this out, hey Sat Mag team, as one of the volunteers who was at Joy during the terrible incident out the front of the building yesterday evening, I also want to give a big thanks and a big hug to Dominique for her leadership as everything unfolded. And what an amazing job the emergency services and City of Melbourne did to secure the area and keep everyone informed. So sad for the loss of life, but Melbourne is such a great city and it will rise above such horrendous acts. Yep. Hear, hear, Pete. They're great comments, and those very similar comments to the ones that our government representative, Martin Foley, made this morning as well.
Yeah, and look, for anyone that didn't see the Q&A, it's available on, you know, ABC on catch-up. Have a look at it. I was disappointed. I thought it was self-serving, and I still don't know. I still don't know. I know what I thought Malcolm Turnbull stood for when he was elected Prime Minister, when he became Prime Minister. I still don't know now what he stands for.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.